Welcome to another edition of Five of the Best. It's been a while since I did the last one. The reason being, it's been summer here, and I've been finding other things to do. It still is summer here, and I don't think it's going to be a regular occurrence. It's probably going to be every 2 weeks, and at least until the summer is over. And anyway, this one is going to be about 1972, and there's a few things that happened in 1972. In 1972, it was the year that the last US troops left Vietnam. There was last major epidemic of smallpox, which took part in Europe, and that took place in Yugoslavia, or the Slavic Croatia, Slovenia, Slovakia, as it is now. It looks like smallpox is going to be the first major disease which is going to be wiped out through modern medicine ever, which is good news. Bangladesh gains independence from Pakistan, and in 1972 it was the last man to walk on the moon, and there's two Apollo missions in 1972, Apollo 16 and 17. And is it Harrison Smith, who was the last person to actually walk on the moon? I also saw the last of the moon buggies being left on the moon. And in this year, in 1972, we saw the introduction of the first digital watches, and we also saw the first handheld calculator, scientific calculator by HP, and this came at a price of $375. And there's a picture on the website if you want it. It's amazing. Nowadays they just give it away free on your phone, and to pay $375. Some other big things which was happening in 1972. ABBA, very, very big. Roxy Music, big. John Lennon and the Eagles. Some of the TV at the time, which was just launching and was becoming huge. Sesame Street, Monty Python Flying Circus, Dad's Army, very big in the UK still, Hawaii 5-0, and Here's Lucy, which probably you would know about. But the top films were, at the time was The Godfather, Fiddler on the Roof, Clockwork Orange, and Dirty Harry. In 1972 we saw a very famous plane crash, and this was in the Andes, and this is when a flight carrying the Old Christians Rugby Club, a professional rugby club, was going to go from flying from Montevideo in Uruguay to Santiago in Chile. The plane was carrying 40 passengers with 5 crew. And the plane they were flying in was a Fairchild FH-227D, and the plane had a ceiling height of 30,000 feet, which was not enough to go over the Andes, which meant that the plane had to fly parallel to the Andes until to a pass, fly through the pass and through where they crossed the Andes. But the fatal flaw happened when the pilot, who was flying in cloudy weather, and he could not see the ground, and he did not calculate the wind speed accurately enough, and he failed to take in the strong wind currents, and this meant that when he was in the pass and descending, he miscalculated about when his what time to descend, and as a result he descended too early and clipped a mountain top at 13,000 feet, and this severed the right wing, and then as it fell it also clipped another mount, and that severed the left wing, and this meant that the fuselage flying through the air, and it eventually came to a stop on a slope. When the fuselage came to a stop, 12 of the 45 passengers had died, and a further 5 passengers died of their injuries in the next few days. A search party was started straight away, but with a white fuselage on a white snowfield mountain, they had very little success. In fact, after 8 days, they stopped and said that the plane had probably crashed, killing all people on board. The survivors, in fact, had a transistor radio and were listening for research through the transistor radio. And this is when one of the leading characters, Nando Parado, upon hearing that the search had stopped, wanted to defuse large and said, "Oh, it's good news, the stop searching for us, which means we're going to have to get out by ourselves." It doesn't say how his little rant was received by the group, but if I had any strength, definitely a nut-kicking incident would happen. After 11 days, having nothing to eat, in fact they were eating crisp packets, in fact they had started to eat the actual seats themselves because they thought they were made of straw and they had clothing, it came to a stage which a decision was made that they would actually eat the flesh of their comrades, and they started to cannibalize the dead people. And this was met, some people refused to eat them and just kept on eating clothes and bits of shoe, but eventually everyone started to cannibalize the comrades, because they had no choice. And on the fifth, just as you thought this couldn't get any worse, on the 15th day an avalanche hit the site and it completely covered the site and the fuselage, as a result killing 6 more of the survivors and trapping most of them in the fuselage, and a day or two trying to escape the fuselage of that. After 26 days, it was Nando Parado who decided, right, we're going to get out of this. And with 2 other people, Sensena and Vinteni, they set out to get help. And they managed to go 3 days before they ran out of supplies. And guess what that means? And they came back to the group very cold and very hungry, and it was decided that they were going to wait 5 weeks for the temperature to rise, and so they had a better chance of actually marching out of the mountains. And that's what they did. They waited 5 weeks, and in the meantime they made a sleeping bag which was going to house or be home for all 3 of the people who was going to march out. And apparently it was a very good sleeping bag because it did the job. And on the 62nd day, Nando Parado, Vinteni and Cessna went out with supplies, and after 3 days, in fact, they sent Vinteni back because they were very quickly running out of supplies. And so the 2 of them carried on going, and after 8 days down the mountain they came across a rancher who actually found them, and I couldn't believe their story. And after that, after 69 days, they rescued 8, and the following day they rescued the following 8. So 16 survivors out of the group, and it's a fantastic story, I think, anyway. In 1972 we saw the first video arcade game come out. This wasn't the first computer game ever made, but the first one was called Space Buster, and the problem with that was that you needed a $100,000 computer to play with that. It was in fact Nolan Bushnell who actually formed Atari, and he purchased pinball machines to finance the Atari company. And it was Atari who actually first launched the game, the video arcade game called Pong. And Pong basically is a tennis game with 2 paddles which you move back and forward and you knock a ball back and forward. Its roots came from another computer company called Magnavox, which had a very similar game, but it was vastly improved to that. In fact, they paid Magnavox some royalties, and it was in fact Alan Acorn who actually took the idea and vastly improved it for the Atari game. It was Anna Acorn who actually wrote the program for Pong. And like I said, this was a hugely popular game. In fact, when it was launched, the average pinball machine would take $40 a week at the time. When Pong was introduced, it was taking $200 a week. In fact, in the first few weeks when Pong came out, the owners complained that the machine was broken down, and upon inspection it was found that a lot of machines were just jam-packed of quarters that the machine had broken down. This was a huge success for Atari, and this led for them to keep on developing Pong and to have start its own games machine. And a few years later on, it was Steve Jobs who came back from India, and he got involved with Atari, and he was asked to make a motherboard, and he was asked to reduce the number of chips on the motherboard. Now Steve Jobs knows very little about computers, but he does know someone who does know a lot about computers, and that's Steve Wozniak. And Atari, tell Steve Jobs that they'll give him $100 for every chip they can reduce off this current motherboard. And Steve Jobs goes to Wozniak and says, "Can you reduce this board? Can you use the number of microchips on this board?" And Steve Wozniak goes back and reduces the number of chips on the board by 50. Now Steve Jobs then tells Wozniak that he's only been paid $50 a chip. He goes to Atari, gets the money, and then pays Wozniak less than half of what he's supposed to. And in the future, Wozniak found out about this and wasn't too disturbed. Where if I found out, I'd have probably kicked him in the nuts repeatedly. But that's history. In 1972, we saw the discovery of the Star of Sierra Leone. And the Star of Sierra Leone is, or was, the biggest diamond ever discovered at the time. It was 968 carats. And this led to me to do a little bit of history about the history of diamonds. It goes back a long way. The first, in fact, diamond mine is in India, 100 years BC. And in fact, it's probably the Greeks which gave the name diamonds. And the term in Greek, diamonds, is the same word as invincible. And that is why a lot of kings and queens use diamonds, because of this word association. Many people think that diamonds come from coal, and that coal metamorphosizes into diamonds. That simply is not true and does not happen. In fact, the way a diamond is made, it takes around 3 billion years, and it is when a piece of carbon dioxide gas is buried in the ground, and it is buried 50 miles down under the earth, and it is heated to around 2000 degrees Fahrenheit, and it is squeezed to a pressure of around 725,000 pounds per square inch. There is no shortage of diamonds at all. There's loads of diamonds under the very feet you're standing on. The problem is that they're around 50 miles down. And the way that they make way to the surface are... The most common way that diamonds make way to the surface is through volcanoes. The magma rises up through the earth, and as it comes through the subduction area where the diamonds are formed, they are grabbed by the magma and make their way to the surface. But then the tectonic plates move, so the volcano is no longer active, but the volcano and the diamonds are there, and that's where most of the diamonds mining takes place. There is other ways in which diamonds makes its way to the surface. One is through asteroids. Deep asteroids strike the Earth, and when an asteroid strikes the Earth, it creates the same conditions as the pressures and the heat, and thus diamonds are formed when asteroids strike the Earth. And most diamonds in Africa are very, a lot of asteroid strikes in Africa, and there are also a lot of these diamond mines in Africa. Another way